in to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 194 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and Sean Orford. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm good. Every time you introduce us and the numbers get bigger and bigger, I'm thinking, God, 194 episodes.
I know, am I really that old?
Yeah. No, you're not. You don't look that bad. You look all right.
I look all right, don't I? Yeah, I haven't been ID'd for a while when I've been in an off-license or
club. I get that all the time.
Do you? Yeah. How are you doing? You okay?
I'm good. I'm good. We're in Ed's office today. So
yeah, so if it's like, it sounds slightly echoey, we're still in my slightly... Well, it's a cool size office, isn't it?
It's good, yeah.
We're still getting settled in a bit. We've been so busy just working that we don't have time to decorate
the place. It's getting sexy in here now because you've got the sofa and the coffee table. And
a couple of prints. But we're thinking about actually painting the room and maybe getting one wall into some kind of, like, you know, brick wallpaper or something like that. Or some kind of feature colour with some quotes up on the wall.
So some of the offices I go into, the creative offices, they have... office walls that are painted with a magnetic paint, but also you can do like a whiteboard.
Yeah, that would be
so good. So they use it as creative space.
I'll mention that to Mike when he's in, because we're going to each put a bit of dosh aside.
Well, the magnetic paint's dead easy. You paint the wall first with that, and then you do your whiteboard paint over the top.
Yep.
But when you've got, you can then use all kinds of magnetic things to stick on.
That's cool.
It's good, yeah.
I'll speak to him about that. That'd be pretty good, because he's got a projector as well, so we're thinking to get a projector and stuff on the walls, so we can do presentations. And
it's a cool office, it's good.
Yeah, it's cool. I just need to... Well, it's a great building, and there's...
Yeah.
Well, you can have a look online. It's a Wirral Chamber building. It's Pacific Road Business Hub. So
this used to be a music venue, didn't it, years ago?
It was, and before that it was a tram store. It's a big, it's got the tram lines that come straight in. And we have a couple of trams down there at the moment.
Yeah. I feel like I'm in a museum sometimes.
It's cool. Yeah, have you ever been to Beamish in the North East?
Yeah.
That's kind of got that feels. If anyone's been there, that's
Yeah, Beamish beer is very nice.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right, so liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. Check it out for show notes and links for this and previous episodes. We're getting close to 200, which we need to have a think about some kind of, I don't know, celebration of some kind.
I hear champagne corks popping.
Should we do a drunk episode?
Oh, I think
we haven't done one of those for a while, have we?
Yeah.
We had a non-alcoholic beer last week.
Yeah. A non-alcoholic episode, yeah.
So check that out, and check out our partners, 123 Friday. This is a free show, but if you'd like to contribute just a small amount, then if you sign up to 123 Friday, not only do you get a great app that will back up all your photos and videos from your phone, so they're all nice and safe, but you'll also be helping out the show in a small little way, which we would appreciate greatly. So
it's funny you're saying that about the app, because I was working with somebody a couple of weeks ago, and they had a computer issue, and they hadn't been backing up to any cloud facility for a period of time. They thought they were backing up to a more local hard drive, and their computer went. They lost everything on the hard drive, and when they went to the backup was blank, and they've lost so much stuff. I mean, like years of stuff.
You got to be careful. I mean, I've learned the hard way years and years ago before I was really self-employed, and I lost a lot of work. And now it's much easier these days. For my work, I use Dropbox, so I've got Dropbox running in the background, and it's...
See, I wonder about photos. People used to have drawers full of paper photographs.
Yeah.
And now everything is digital, but it's so easy to lose it. You know, you can store more digitally, I guess, than you can in the drawer.
You can, but then it's not perfect, because I mean, I use 123 Friday, which is a good app, which is why we talk about it on the show. But I also use Google Photos to back up as well. But then they don't really. You need to spend time to organise and categorise, because I've just got thousands of photos all in one place, and I need to spend some time going in and dropping them into.
I guess that's one of the things with digital collections, is you end up doing more and more and more and more.
Yeah.
It's easier to do.
And it backs up all the rubbish ones as well that I would delete anyway. But hey, but how are you doing anyway? You okay?
Good, yeah. We went to Strictly Come Dancing last night, which was amazing.
Yep.
And Len, who's the main judge, and it's he's left the show, but this is the last tour that he's doing. But it was good to...
Was it just Len from the main judges, or was it all four of them?
No, it was Len and Craig, and then a woman who I didn't actually know that all the others knew, who apparently was a dancer on the programme a long time ago, and she's a teacher and cool. choreographer. And
so. Was that Manchester or Liverpool? Where did you put it on?
It's Liverpool, and the Echo.
Cool.
Absolutely crammed full.
It's good that we've got that in Liverpool now, because, yeah, it's bringing the big
But a Liverpool audience is a really good audience, because they're really vocal and they really get involved.
Yeah, it's a good crack, man,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah, and people were up dancing and stuff. Yeah, it's great. It's good.
Very good. Yeah. Cool. What are we talking about this week? Goal setting.
Goal setting, yeah.
And not in the traditional, well, we're not talking about basically whether or not it's... Good. We're looking at kind of the downsides of goal setting and about when enough is enough and should you be setting these lofty goals? Is it healthy or not?
I think it feeds into so many things, this. It's about what's life about.
Mm.
You know, is life about chasing goals which may even be unattainable? Is life about being? And the joke is, are you a human being or a human doing? And when you get involved in fixed and crazy goals, you become a human doing, and you miss your life.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the average goal for a creature with not like as intelligence of a human being, like your average sparrow or badger. What's the goal for an animal like that? It's basically a bit of reproduction, getting through day to day, or getting through the certain seasons, and I guess passing on the genetic sequence, isn't it? So if you want to get down to the basics, that's what we're here for.
But we've gone beyond the point of survival, haven't we?
Oh, yeah, we've been given this gift of super consciousness, haven't we?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that's super.
Well.
Potentially.
But, yeah, there's an article that I'll link to straight away in the show notes, which is a Forbes.com one, so a bit more business setting, but why setting goals can do more harm than good. It's looking at it from a business point of view, and, you know, I work with a lot of... small businesses that are hoping to be big businesses one day, and a lot of the bosses and directors and what have you have grand plans, which is fantastic.
I think if you look at that whole business thing, I mean, around us we got things like Port Sunlight that was built by the Lever brothers, yeah, Lord Lever, and what in their drive to create a big global business, they provide income and support for hundreds of thousands of people.
Yep.
And I mean, so the work that they're doing, yes, they're making a profit out of it, but there's a philanthropy in it as well. And to have a big business, if you're Apple, I mean, how many people do Apple employ around the world? There must be millions of them.
Blimey, yeah.
You know what I mean? So those kinds of things on a global scale sound kind of reasonable, as long as we're not ripping the planet to pieces. But one of the issues has to be, what do we sacrifice individually for those goals?
Yeah.
And is life about creating goals, or is it about living your life? Or are they both the same thing? Or, you know, it's that.
Yeah, I mean, from a business point of view, the businesses in my line of work, you know, design, web design, which I'm not going down this route, but traditionally a business like mine will kind of grow to a point where they start to hire people, and then they have to go for bigger contracts and start looking at tenders on...
Yeah.
Local authority websites, and then they kind of create this monster which needs feeding 20 grand a month to pay all the staff, maybe more.
Yeah,
I'm not really looking to go down that route, because my life just wouldn't really fit it, in terms of picking up and dropping kids at school and all that. And
but the thing is that you could, which is what a lot of people do, you could hire somebody else to pick the kids up and drop the kids off, and you could be off working.
Yeah, or vice versa. I could hire someone to do all the nitty gritty laptopy bits, and I could spend more time with kids, even maybe.
Yeah, yeah. So, how many people that we know, but I mean people out there generally, who have families, but they don't actually see their families because they're so busy chasing the goal.
Yeah, yeah, and I know a few business folks like that I work with who they've chosen to go down that route, and they probably look at my crazy life. And, you know, this morning I was taking my two lads to school this morning on a bike. Well, I was pushing the bike, and William on the pedal. He likes to stand on there, and it's easier, it's just quicker, to be fair.
Mm.
Jacob in the seat in the back, all with the hoods up and the gloves and hats on, bags over the handlebars and all that. So. Crossing the road, saying hello to the lollipop man, and chucking Will into school, Childminder then takes over with Jacob, so I can come here and have a nice chat with you, get a bit of work done. But I've got to be back there for 3:15 to get them both again.
Yeah,
bike him up, get him home.
Yeah,
snack and all that. So I'm quite happy with how that's going.
And but one of the things about that is that I work with many, many people who, at the point of retirement, are saying to me, "Where's my life gone? I missed the kids growing up. I missed everything because they were so busy chasing something else." I guess there is a point. I was thinking, as we were talking about that, I was thinking, my grandmother, my father's mother, we all know about my father, God bless him.
She's got a lot to answer for, right?
What happened to her was her husband died. He came back from the First World War, developed TB, but after that, and then died, leaving her with like 8 kids or whatever. And to survive, because there wasn't the support systems that there are now, she had to do 3 jobs. So she did a morning, early morning job, a daytime job, and an evening job, which meant that the older kids had to look after the younger kids. Now, she probably would have that same experience if she didn't see her kids growing up in the same way. But that was because she was having to go out to work to survive.
Yeah.
So she wasn't, I suppose the goal she was chasing was survival for the family.
Yeah.
You know, and some of the older kids had to leave school at 14 then and go to work to support the other kids, you know. It was all that kind of stuff.
But the long-term effect of that basically has led you to be sitting right here in this office. The hard work paid off, didn't it, I guess?
Yeah.
So if you look at something on a long-term basis, then...
I guess that the issue about goals for me, certainly working with people, but if I look at those two different scenarios of the person that's having to kind of work like crazy to survive as opposed to someone who's working like crazy because they're chasing a goal, it's like, how many cars do you need? How many houses do you need? If you've got a house, how many rooms do you need? And I see a lot of people that are chasing something, which is kind of unnecessary, in the sense that it takes up so much of their consciousness that they cease to live because they're so busy doing.
The old rat race, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, how many folks work create like crazy for 45, 48 weeks of a year so they can have that precious 2 weeks in the summer? Wherever they might be. My dad's in Gran Canaria at the moment, somewhere like that, I guess.
Right.
But my dad's retired. He's a good example, really. I mean, he worked hard. He was a 9-to-5er. In fact, he was in retail, so he was more than a 9-to-5er. He was working as like store managers for a big retail setup, and then went kicked upstairs for in head office for a while in the old rat race for years and years. And he's retired now, and he's just kind of kicking back a bit. But he's in Gran Canaria for a week cycling with his pals.
Yeah, sounds good.
It's brilliant. He's sending some pics now. I've checked my phone.
How about it be nice and warm now, not too hot?
Yeah, it's just right, especially for what he's doing. Pushing it pretty hard.
That'd be cool. That'd be good.
But what are the goals? Do you work? Do you kind of set this side aside from the age of 25 to 60, where you just got to work your backside off, and then providing your body's in good enough shape at the age of 60, 65, you can maybe have 20 years of doing what you want to do, or do you spend that...
Yeah,
we've all got bills to pay, haven't we?
Yeah. But one of the issues in that is the bills that we have to pay. I'm thinking of things like, we know that about 35% of all the food that's bought in this country goes in the bin because people adhere to the use-by dates, or they buy too much, you know, all that kind of stuff, like over Christmas or whatever. And if we were to kind of simplify things, you know one of those downsizing ideas where you pile all your clothes in the middle of a room, everything that you've got, and then you look at each item and you think, does this item bring me joy? Is it, you know, and if it doesn't, okay, charity shop, get rid of it, and simplify your life down. Because one of the things for me is that, say you've got 2 houses, you've got a holiday home somewhere. Actually, the holiday home may be somewhere that you go and relax, but also you've got to worry about it. You know, is it going to be burgled? All that kind of stuff.
But
you've got
to do it as well. The boiler's gone.
Yeah. So in many ways, you take on twice the stress in having the bolt hole.
Yeah.
You know, whereas if you were using someone else's bolt hole, I guess, you know, the stress isn't there. But very often the things that we crave create more problems. You know, how many cars do you need? you know.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, that's kind of a philosophy of mine, is really just like trying to live a super lean lifestyle as much as possible. I mean, we're at the stage, as I've mentioned before, where we're in a nice little 3-bed end terrace with lots, and, you know, enough space for us. Most of the time, we're all cuddled up in the same corner of the same room anyway. But we're at the stage where we could probably, or we would be normally looking to kind of upgrade to get a 4-bedroom house with a driveway and, I don't know, a bigger garden, a bit more land. But I'm trying to desperately resist, and because what's the point, you know? Why do we need an extra bedroom that a guest might come and stay in once every 6 months?
It doesn't matter, I'll sleep on the sofa, all right.
Okay. Get a sofa bed in the downstairs. But the plus side is that, because if we did do that, we'd all of a sudden we'd be stretching ourselves, and I'd have to set bigger goals business-wise and start to hit bigger targets and maybe start charging more and take on more responsibility and pressure there, which might lead to some awesome things business-wise, and I might get my name in the paper or who knows what.
You might be famous for 15 minutes.
But at the moment, we're in this quite comfortable-ish spot where things are quite chilled out. If we want to do something at the weekend, we want to randomly go out for dinner with pals or whatever, or treat ourselves to something, we can. We're not stressing about it.
I was talking to a friend the other day, and he's got the option to go and live on the Isles of Scilly, which, if you don't know those islands, they're just off Cornwall.
Yeah.
And they're beautiful islands, lovely place to be. But when you go there, all there is the island, and there's a hospital on there, on the main island, on St Mary's, and a couple of banks and stuff like that.
A shop?
Yeah, but very, very, very small stuff, you know. If he takes up the option to go there, which he's considering at the moment, him and his girlfriend, other plans that he had in from a career point of view go out the window, because not only would he not be able to follow them, but the fact that he took that time out, however many years he spent in the Isles of Scilly, means that people would then see him from his business point of view, like he's not up to it, because he hasn't been with his nose to the grindstone still,
right?
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that is a very, very powerful decision. I mean, in terms of what you're talking about simplifying and a life on down in the Isles of Scilly would be amazingly simple and tranquil, and could be very, very lovely. But you have to be the kind of personality who can slip into that.
In this Forbes article, there's a quote early on, or a paragraph that it talks about the side effects of goal setting in terms of if you implement it in a business. So it says, bad side effects produced by goal setting programs include a rise in unethical behaviour, over-focus on one area while neglecting other parts of the business.
But also neglecting your family could be as well.
Yeah, exactly. Distorted risk preferences, corrosion of organisational culture, and reduced intrinsic motivation, which is all pretty interesting stuff.
But we start to get distorted. One of the things I think about, when you look at any other species, we were talking about birds earlier on, is if you look at any species, then the deal is that you've got a male and a female, usually, who are raising their kids. Yeah, that's what it's about. Yeah. And in many ways, we're not that much different to that. We have families, we raise kids, we have another generation, there was a previous generation. The thing that we've got that other species don't really have, unless you're a cat, I guess, is we don't have the need to be working flat out. We have leisure time. You know, if you're a herbivore, you've got to eat a lot of grass to keep your body going. You're eating all the time. Yeah, it's a busy life. Whereas if you're a cat, you just catch a herbivore every now and again, then you spend the rest of the time lying around digesting it. But we do that. We spend we have this leisure time, which we either use productively or not. Yeah. We've gone beyond survival.
Yeah.
Yeah, for most people. In our society. Yeah. I'm saying around the world.
We've created a monster. But I mean, we should also say that the plus sides of goal setting, I mean, it does kind of, I guess, has elevated humanity to this point where...
Well, one of the things, if you think about, why did you get out of bed this morning?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what's the motivation? And you have to have that dynamic tension to pull you, to keep you going. Yeah. Yeah. And if you haven't got that dynamic tension, you get depressed and flat and... Mm-hmm. Yeah, but where does having a direction and a purpose turn into this unattainable goal where you lose the rest of your life?
Yeah.
In it, you know. So, yeah, to have a purpose is good. I get out of bed because I enjoy what I do. And I guess if I didn't enjoy what I do, I wouldn't get out of bed.
Yeah, exactly. Well, for me, yeah, I mean, I'm in the old school days, so it's getting Will to school and seeing his progress in terms of reading and writing now and just being generally intrigued by everything in the world. Yeah. At that age,
yeah,
that's kind of my motivation, really. And I'm lucky that I do enjoy coming in here and checking my emails, and I've kind of honed my client base so that I actually enjoy working with the people that I work with.
Yeah,
so it's all pretty good.
Yeah, that's important, isn't it? It's the enjoyment bit.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you have any big goals that are kind of banging in your head that you think?
I went through that stage, not a stage, but every couple of years I used to set a big challenge in terms of a physical challenge. So in 2010 and 2012 I went to the Alps, did a bit of climbing, Mont Blanc, but weather was against me and what have you, so, but still amazing being there and pushing my body. And in 2014 I went, did that cycling in Scotland across the Highlands, which incredible. So every now and again I do like to set these challenges for myself, mainly physically based, to kind of keep myself in nick and just see.
Yeah.
It's more about the travel, really, and seeing amazing places.
Yeah.
And the side effects from that, you know, you get to meet different people. And
so when you're cycling across the Highlands,
mm-hmm.
do you stop and look at the view?
Oh, yeah, of course.
So it isn't just like, I've got to get to the end. It's not kind of driven goal.
No.
It's more like the experience, the journey.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, all my trips have been planned so that there was time to, you know, well, we weren't against the clock. Massively.
Yeah.
It was time to sit back and enjoy it and stop for lunch and in the middle of nowhere and just listen to silence.
I mean, when I look at it, there's things that I want to achieve before I turn my toes up. But they're things I want to achieve as a part of the journey of living. I don't want to do them at the exclusion of everything else.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoy the people I'm with. I enjoy being with you. You know what I mean? I want to enjoy that. I don't want to miss that because I'm...
If this podcast ever became a chore, that would be a worry, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but yeah. Yeah, that'd be a pain in the rear end.
Oh, flipping heck.
Not that again.
Yeah, got to record. What am I going to talk about for half an hour?
Yeah.
And you've got to look at what the end goal is. There's that famous fishing story, isn't there? Do you want to tell it?
It's lovely. There's a guy by a riverbank fishing... And he's really good at it, and people come along and they kind of buy a bit of fish of him. But he's doing it because he enjoys it. It's just what he likes doing with his life. And across the other side of the river, there's a guy who's a businessman who's watching him out of a tower block, and he's looking at him, and he thinks, that guy's really clever at catching fish. And over the months, he watches him. And one day at lunchtime, he takes a stroll and goes across the bridge to talk to the fisherman. And he says to the fisherman, you're really, really good at catching fish. You know, it's amazing. Why don't you get two or three rods and then you could be catching more fish? Then you could make more money because you could see him selling the fish. And he said, well, yeah, I could. And he said, just think about it. If you could get more rods, maybe you could get some more people on the rod so we could really get the fish going. And then you could get a boat. And then if you got the boat, you could increase. And he got his little notebook out and he's doing all the sums. And he got to the point where, you know, then you could have a canning factory. And it taken him right through this process of this kind of goal that he saw for him.
Mm.
And he said, and the magic thing is that if you managed to create that much wealth, you could do absolutely anything you wanted in the world. You'd be completely free. You could do absolutely anything you could think of. And he said, if you could do that, what would you do? What would you want to do? If you could do absolutely anything, total wealth, anything you want to do. And the guy said, well, I'd come down here and I'd go fishing. And that is so real for so many people. It's like, what are we doing? It's like the thing that this guy wanted to do was fish. That's what he did.
Hmm.
Yeah. And why would he go through that process to get to the point where he could do what he was doing anyway?
Yep.
And maybe there are lots of us who could just do what we want to do if we get our heads out of this idea about needing to have.
Yeah.
The acquisitive, I, me, my, must have now stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And just be. Enjoy what you're doing. Enjoy your being.
That's got to be the ultimate goal, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Have you got a resource of the week or anything else you want to check
yeah,
out?
Yeah, yeah. I've put a resource up, which is 10 articles about decluttering, about simplifying your life.
Yeah.
Really. You know, I mean, one of the things I like about the way that you approach life is you look at it in a much more minimalist way. And one of the things that I hear you say you know, well, do I need that? No, I don't need to get that. I was surprised seeing you with the Apple Watch, really.
Well, I was surprised getting it, to be honest.
Yeah, because I would have thought you would have thought, you know, what do I want an Apple Watch for? Kind of thing. I know you're enjoying it.
Well, I did. I had, and yeah, when my wife got it for me for Christmas, I did open the box and think, like, obviously I was super grateful.
Mm.
But then I was like, because I'd obviously investigated it a lot.
Yeah,
I know everything about it.
Yeah.
But I decided, nah, I don't really need one.
You're enjoying it now.
Now I've got it. It's brilliant. Like, yeah. It's a part of my wrist, and it's good for tracking. And I think it's helped me become physically more active and all that. So yeah, it's cool. I wouldn't have got it in the first place, but obviously it was a gift, and I'm super grateful for all that stuff.
And you got it, yeah.
But yeah, no. Generally, I try and keep things as lean as possible.
Yeah, yeah. But in that leanness, you spend part of your leanness is spending time as a family. It's the hygge thing we were talking about a few episodes ago.
Yep.
It's like you have a hygge lifestyle where you are a cozy family together.
Yeah.
You know?
So yeah, we haven't got it quite nailed yet, but
yeah,
getting there.
That's okay. Good. Yeah.
Cool. I'm gonna stick a video in as my resource. A chap called Richard Sower.
We've just been watching that.
We've just been watching. This is a guy.
Bizarre.
Who's actually the father of the chap that I share an office with.
In that desk over there.
Yeah, he's Mike's due in shooting soon, actually, 20 minutes. Yeah. Interesting guy. He basically lives on a floating island in Mexico, which he's built himself out of plastic bottles, and then all these kind of mangrove swamps have kind of developed and formed, and he's built a house on this floating island. But he's a chap who's kind of.
When I look at that and I think, wow, what a clever guy, what he's done.
Yeah.
And I think, like, he's used all that rubbish that was in the sea and he's made it. And then I think, God, aren't we disgusting human beings? Why is that rubbish in the sea to enable him to do it? We are terrible, the things we do with the planet.
We are a little bit, but he's making something beautiful.
Isn't he?
Out of all that trash.
I'm stunned. I want to go there. I want to go and visit.
I know. Well, I'll set it up. I'll speak with Mike and see if we can get over there. Because he's done quite a few things of him on YouTube. He's had Carl Pilkington from Ricky Gervais's pal.
Oh, yeah.
Over to stay with him for a bit. So he does a few of these tours and what have you. And you can actually just rock up. I'm not exactly sure where it is, but you can just rock up and pay him a few quid and he'll give you a tour, and that's how he gets by.
Yeah, yeah.
He set himself this lofty goal, and it's quite interesting. So
I wonder whether he can catch fish off of there.
Yeah, I don't know if he's a good fisherman, actually. He's probably a vegetarian, I would have thought. looks like that kind of guy. But I'm getting there as well with the old vegetarianism.
Yeah.
All right, all done?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm going to go and be in my life.
Cool. 100 miles an hour. Till 10 o'clock, 6 a.m. till 10 o'clock every
day. I should finish at 10 tonight. See, now, some people would say I'm driven and bonkers, but I am doing less than I used to do. One of the issues in my life is there are a lot of people that need support and help.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not the kind of person that can say, no, go away. You know, if someone needs something, I tend to be there and trying to do it. If we all look after each other, we will all be all right.
Exactly. Yeah, very good. Very well said. Right, livingthepresent.co.uk is our website. A few show notes, a few links for you to check out for this week's show. There's a blog post as well coming from Sean.
Yep.
That'll be online as well.
It will be amazing.
It'll be beautiful. And follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram for little daily nuggets of advice and wisdom and some cool little quotes that Reed puts up there and to keep you going.
Yeah, yeah.
Keep you on track with those goals, those lofty goals. Right, Sean, you have a good week.
Yeah, and you. Take care.
See you soon.